Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 13th of April, 2024, and the title of today's show is Trump's War, Clones, Assange, and Illegitimate Government. For this week's show, I've found a couple of new sources for articles, and they've got some interesting information in there. At this point, I can't vouch 100% that the information they're sharing is all true, but I thought I'd share them with you and leave it up to you to use your discernment as usual as to whether you think they have valid information. Certainly, from what I've read, there is a lot of information that I have gathered from other sources. So they seem to be on point for quite a few things. But I thought it'd be interesting just to share something different for a change. So the first article I want to share is from Gazetella.com. And the title is Trump's War Against the Cabal, the Quantum Financial Era, Gold-Backed Currencies, Quantum Phones, Space Force, and the Activation of the Emergency Broadcast System. The landscape of global power is undergoing a seismic shift, far beyond the grasp of the ordinary citizen. At the heart of this transformation is a meticulous and deliberate maneuver to dismantle the long-standing pillars of control and influence that have dictated the ebb and flow of politics, economics, and societal norms for centuries. The mechanisms of change are not only sophisticated, but are also laced with an air of inevitability that challenges the very fabric of reality as we know it. Trump's clarion call resonates as a battle cry for the soul of a nation, for the essence of freedom itself. They're not coming for me, they're coming for you. I'm just getting in their way, he declares, amidst the tumultuous waves of political warfare. This isn't just about one man's struggle, it's the embodiment of America's fight against the unseen forces that seek to dismantle the very core of its greatness. Yet Trump's battle is more than a mere political skirmish. It's a spiritual warfare with stakes that transcend national boundaries, a clarion call for divine intervention. If we're true to our values and true to our people, as long as we're true to God, we will never fail, Trump asserts, invoking a higher power in the quest for justice and truth. The assets and operatives of what can only be described as a shadow network, often referred to as the cabal, have been decisively neutralized through a series of executive orders 13818, 13848, 13959. A campaign of such magnitude was unleashed that it saw the seizure of assets tied to the most heinous crimes imaginable: human trafficking, organ harvesting, drug trafficking, and more. The reach of this campaign has been all-encompassing, leaving no stone unturned. From Wall Street to the Vatican, from Washington, D.C. to the City of London, the result? A power vacuum that has been promptly filled by the U.S. Space Force, signaling a new era of governance and oversight. The Digital Goods Exchange Act 2022 heralds the transition to a digital economy, where commodities are no longer bound by the physical constraints of their nature. Metals, salt, oil, these and more are now digitized, paving the way for an economy that is both resilient and adaptable to the challenges of the future. Enter the quantum financial system, QFS, a beacon of hope, a promise of a new dawn. This is the herald of a new era of transparency, security, and efficiency, a stark departure from the archaic, corruptible systems of old. Central banks, the erstwhile guardians of the financial order, now stand at the precipice, peering into the abyss as the US dollar teeters on the brink of collapse, signaling the inevitable rise of the QFS. Quantum phones, Q-phones, devices so advanced that they render current technology archaic. These phones, operating on the Starlink network, a venture overseen by none other than the US Air Force Global Military Alliance, symbolize the nexus between cutting-edge technology and military precision. The narrative surrounding the ZIM titles adds another layer of complexity to this unfolding saga. Contrary to the swirling rumors, the redemption of these bonds will adhere to the market value dictated by the Zimbabwean economy, debunking any speculation about a one-to-one conversion rate with the US currency. This clarification is crucial, emphasizing the grounded and pragmatic approach taken by those steering this transition. The introduction of the ZIG notes by Zimbabwe, backed by the intrinsic value of gold, is a clarion call that has resonated across the globe, with Russia, China, and potentially Denmark moving to anchor their currencies in the stability that gold offers. This move is heralding the dawn of a new era where the artificial constructs of value are replaced by something timeless, something unassailable. The imminent activation of the emergency broadcast system in the USA, a measure preparing the nation for military control, is a testament to the gravity of the moment. Jisara Nasara stands ready to be unleashed, marking the culmination of a journey that has been fraught with peril, but guided by a steadfast commitment to justice and liberation. At the helm of this monumental shift are the White Hat military, President Trump, President Xi Jinping, President Putin, and a coalition of leaders from the BRICS nations and beyond. This alliance, as it is aptly named, is the architect of the new quantum Earth reality, a vision so profound that it seeks to redefine the very essence of human existence on this planet. This narrative is further enriched by the strategic maneuvers of the BRICS nations, particularly China, with its currency swap initiatives aimed at fostering a new financial order. The suspension of Iraq's domestic stock market, just opposed with the Prime Minister's impending visit to the United States, hints at undercurrents of monumental shifts, a chess game of geopolitical and financial strategies, with the GCR/RV at its heart. The introduction of gold-backed currencies by nations such as Zimbabwe, China, and Russia marks the beginning of the end for fiat currencies, a bold stride towards stability, sovereignty, and a rebalancing of global power dynamics. Zimbabwe's leap with the launch of the ZIG is a testament to the indefatigable spirit of nations yearning for financial emancipation from the clutches of inflation and economic instability. The whispers of insiders like Mark Z, with tales of vaults brimming with new gold-backed US notes and bonds signaling the imminence of a golden currency era, add layers of intrigue and anticipation. The world stands on the cusp of a revolution where currencies backed by tangible value promise to redefine wealth, power, and the essence of economic exchange. Yet this isn't a journey for the faint-hearted. It's a path fraught with peril, with forces arrayed in the shadows, wielding power, influence, and the machinery of disinformation. But amidst the turmoil, a clarion call to unity echoes, a reminder that in this existential battle for the soul of humanity, wherever we will go together. The Great Awakening is upon us, a period of revelation and rebirth that challenges the status quo and beckons humanity towards a future where the divine right to freedom, prosperity, and truth is not just acknowledged but enshrined. This is the narrative of our times, a tale of awakening, resilience, and the indomitable spirit of humanity in the face of overwhelming odds. It's a call to arms for those who dare to dream, to stand against the tide, to embrace the dawn of a new era. The world watches, breathes, and waits for the great awakening. So that looks like there could be some interesting times ahead for the financial system. And certainly the current system is nearing collapse with the debt levels of the US and probably other European countries as well. And remember that Trump, during his administration, absorbed the Federal Reserve into the Treasury Department. So I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes financially as well as other things. The next thing I want to share is a report by AMG, which is American Media Group. And this was published actually back in March, but I've only just come across this platform. It was shared on X, I think. And the title of this is Alert, 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 The World of Clones, Doubles, Clones, Actors, Royal Family Clones, Politicians, Transvestites Hiding in Plain Sight, Holographic or CGI, Clones Filmed in the Same Library Room at Gitmo, Body Doubles, Clones or Masks, You Decide. And I know that on Cosmic Reality Radio, we've talked a lot about whether people are clones or body doubles or wearing these masks that they use. So I thought it'd be interesting to share this with you, especially given what's happened with the royal family recently. And I'm going to come on to that in a minute. Welcome to the mysterious world of clones, where reality blurs and the lines between truth and deception become indistinguishable. In this article, we delve deep into the realm of doubles, clones, actors, transvestites, and the eerie phenomenon of holographic or CGI clones. Join us as we explore shocking revelations of clones filmed in the same library room at Gitmo and unravel the enigma of body doubles, clones, or masks. In a world shrouded in secrecy and deception, the existence of clones has long been a subject of fascination and speculation. From ancient myths to modern-day conspiracies, the idea of creating identical copies of living beings has captured the imagination of mankind for centuries. But what if clones were not just the stuff of science fiction? What if they were real, lurking in the shadows, hiding in plain sight among us? The implications are staggering, and the truth may be more unsettling than we dare to imagine. Gitmo's enigmatic library room, a stage for cloning experiments. Recent reports have surfaced suggesting that clones have been filmed in the same library room at the infamous Guantanamo Bay detention camp, Gitmo. This revelation has sent shockwaves through the online community, sparking intense debate and speculation about the true nature of the footage. Is it possible that the powers that be are conducting clandestine cloning experiments within the confines of Gitmo? Could this mysterious library room serve as a staging ground for the creation of doppelgangers and replicas? Body doubles, clones or masks, the ultimate deception. The world of espionage and covert operations has long relied on the use of body doubles and lookalikes to deceive enemies and manipulate public perception. But what if these doubles were not just flesh and blood, but exact replicas created through advanced cloning technology? The emergence of CGI and holographic technology has further blurred the lines between reality and illusion, making it increasingly difficult to discern fact from fiction. In a world where digital manipulation can create lifelike replicas with ease, how can we trust anything we see? The great debate, clones versus masks. As the evidence mounts and the speculation reaches a fever pitch, the debate rages on. Are the individuals captured on film at Gitmo truly clones, or are they simply wearing masks or prosthetics to conceal their identities? Proponents of the cloning theory point to the uncanny resemblance between the individuals in question, citing subtle differences in facial features and body language as evidence of genetic replication. Skeptics, on the other hand, argue that the technology required to create functional clones remains firmly in the realm of science fiction. The dark side of cloning, ethical dilemmas and moral quandaries. Beyond the realm of conspiracy theories and clandestine operations lies a darker truth. The ethical implications of cloning are vast and profoundly disturbing. The notion of creating sentient beings for the sole purpose of serving as duplicates or replacements raises troubling questions about the value of human life and the sanctity of individual identity. In a world where cloning technology is within reach, who decides which lives are worthy of replication? And what happens to the clones once their purpose has been served? The ethical dilemmas posed by these questions are complex and multifaceted, challenging our most deeply held beliefs about humanity and morality. As we journey deeper into the murky depths of the world of clones, one thing becomes abundantly clear. The truth is elusive and reality is more malleable than we could ever imagine. Whether the individuals filmed at Gitmo are indeed clones, body doubles, or simply figments of our collective imagination, one thing remains certain. The veil of secrecy surrounding cloning technology is unlikely to lift anytime soon. In a shocking turn of events, rumours are ablaze across the internet suggesting that the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, might have been replaced by a clone or body double. Speculations reach fever pitch after recent public appearances alongside Prince William, where keen observers noted striking differences in her appearance. Could this be the plot twist of the century or merely the musings of conspiracy theorists? Let's delve deeper into the perplexing saga of the purported Kate Middleton body double. In the realm of celebrity scrutiny, none seem to escape the watchful eyes of the public. From scrutinising red carpet fashion choices to dissecting the tiniest nuances of demeanour, the masses eagerly consume every detail. But amidst the glare of the spotlight, some whispers transcend mere gossip and venture into the realm of the unthinkable. Enter the latest sensation, captivating the gossip mills, the mysterious case of Kate Middleton's alleged body double. Yes, you heard it right. The poised and elegant Duchess may not be who she appears to be, or so the rumours suggest. In a digital age where every pixel is scrutinised, it didn't take long for eagle-eyed netizens to unearth a compelling piece of evidence. Side-by-side videos purportedly showcasing Kate Middleton's doppelganger have sent shockwaves across the globe. Prepare to have your perception challenged as we unravel the enigma surrounding these unsettling visuals. The rise of speculation. The internet is a breeding ground for speculation, where theories, both plausible and outlandish, find fertile ground to flourish. Among the plethora of conspiracy theories that abound, few have captured the collective imagination quite like the notion of celebrity clones or body doubles. Arrests and executions. A lot of people email me to ask me if I think it's true that Hillary Clinton was executed and or died from adrenochrome withdrawal back in 2016. My answer is, who cares? She was never alive to begin with. Who knows how many synthetic copies of that undead hag they whipped up over the years. You can't execute something that's not alive to begin with. She's even malfunctioned during interviews and spilled the beans about her status as a robotoid simulacrum of human consciousness. We don't need to fret about what is an ongoing civil war between the serpent seed bred bluebuds from the ancient Canaanite tribe of Dan. These things aren't human to begin with and are made up of synthetic approximations of human beings, vessels that end up being absconded by the Legion spirit anyway. So we need not worry about who's been executed by whoever has their hand in the Trump sock puppet. They are all just characters. Got to give the people what they want. If unverifiable lists of supposedly executed celebrities who can be easily replaced with synthetic clones and or organic robotoids and were likely never even living biological authentic human beings to start with is what they want, that's what I'll give them. But let me first explain to you why none of this matters and why all of these celebrity executions, which I do believe are happening, and all this saving of humanity from the cabal by white hats rhetoric is just another one of their control mechanisms, and why the very real war that's going on behind the scenes is not what you think it is. Any of these celebrities who may have ever once been actual living, breathing Homo sapiens with souls at any point in their existence were long ago murdered and replaced with a synthetic stand-in to live out the rest of their career in Hollywood as, so who cares? That's what the Hollywood Walk of Fame is. Those aren't plaques commemorating the career of that particular celebrity. Those are tombstones. Clones, doubles, actors, transvestites hiding in plain sight. The lines between real and unreal blur. Are our public figures who they say they are? Dive into the rabbit hole and uncover a truth that's stranger than fiction. In an age where technology's rapid advancements astonish even the sharpest minds, society finds itself grappling with illusions so masterfully crafted they have seamlessly woven into the tapestry of our daily lives. Every frame, every photo, every public appearance may now be more illusion than reality. Today, as many whisper in hushed tones, public figures are not just public figures anymore. From tribunals to clones, the veil lifts. Stories have been trickling in, evoking both horror and fascination, claiming that several public figures have been replaced by standing clones or doubles. If reports are to be believed, these transformations aren't just for showbiz gimmicks. Instead, they have darker undertones. Zeta Talk and numerous other sources have pointed at covert military tribunals running in the US since early 2019, authorized by President Trump's executive order. In the realm of conspiracies and government cover-ups, the latest revelation surrounding the Guantanamo Bay detention camp, Gitmo, has sent shockwaves through the online community. A video circulating on the internet has exposed a peculiar phenomenon that demands answers. Prominent government officials, during interviews, consistently appear in front of the same backdrop in what seems to be a meticulously replicated library room. Are these high-profile figures actually clones, or is there a more sinister plot at play? The eerie repetition, clones or government conspiracy? The unmistakable resemblance in the backgrounds of various interviews raises eyebrows and sparks questions. Could it be a mere coincidence that officials from different departments share the same bookshelves, decorations, and lighting arrangements? Skepticism grows as the peculiar pattern becomes harder to ignore. For those with eyes wide open, the unfolding drama of our time resembles a grand cinematic production, aptly named The Movie, where the characters are not mere actors but players on the global stage. Today we present an updated list of those who have faced the wrath of justice. those who have met their demise, and those who continue to pull the strings from the shadows. Brace yourselves, for this exposé will grant you 2020 vision to discern reality from the illusory matrix that surrounds us. A glimpse into the movie. Peer through the haze of skepticism and witness a tapestry of events that has left even the most hardened critics astounded. Our world has witnessed a seismic shift as once mighty figures tumble from their pedestals, revealing their true faces. It's time to introduce your skeptic friends to this undeniable narrative of change, to silence those who insist that nothing is happening. The Alarming Types of Clones, Illuminati's Master Play. 1. Actual clones, a process as fantastical as it sounds. Actual clones are humans bred in controlled environments, whether grown in test tubes known as an in vitro or implanted in a womb. These beings bear an identical genetic composition to another individual. 2. Synthetic people. Astoundingly real to the naked eye, synthetic people aren't born, they're made. With tissues extracted from sources like cattle, these beings might as well be stepping out of a sci-fi novel. 3. Organic robotoids. Moving beyond the realms of common cloning and synthetic beings, organic robotoids represent the pinnacle of human imitation. Leveraging technology, the powerful elite can now craft copies of influential people that mirror them to perfection. And a lot of people have commented on the way that Biden walks that looks robotoid, the way that his legs move and everything. So this doesn't surprise me at all. 4. Doubles, lookalikes. Remember the age-old adage, there are 7 people in the world who look like you. The elite have capitalized on this either by finding or deliberately creating lookalikes for notable personalities. Public figures or puppet show. Now, as we tread the line between skepticism and belief, the reality of human cloning appears more palpable than ever. There's an increasing clamor identifying public figures as clones or doubles. The consensus, these figures are mere placeholders, existing until humanity wakes up to the full grotesque scope of the deception in play. While the world waits with bated breath for full disclosure, the discerning eye can't help but notice peculiarities. Could they be clones, doubles, actors in masterful disguises, transvestites who've perfected the art of hiding in plain sight, or even mind-boggling holographs and CGI characters silently screaming the depth of the deception? Spotting the illusion, a new reality. It's crucial now more than ever to not just see, but observe. As technology, political machinations, and hidden agendas intersect, the average citizen must become a sleuth, piecing together the mosaic of truth from fragments scattered amidst deceit. Be it the uncanny symmetry of a politician's face, the slightly off-focal timbre of a celebrity, or the not-so-subtle shift in a public figure's demeanour, the clues are out there, hiding in plain sight. The illusions are so real now, they have become normal. I want to move on now to another article from AMG. And this is breaking news, BBC's Stony Silence on deep fake dilemma surrounding Kate Middleton video raises eyebrows. This was published yesterday. The BBC has chosen to remain tight-lipped in response to a Freedom of Information request probing whether AI or deep fake technology was employed in the controversial Kate Middleton video. Despite mounting speculation and public concern, the BBC's refusal to provide a straightforward answer has only served to fuel suspicions and deepen the mystery surrounding the authenticity of the footage. The lack of a definitive response from the BBC has left many questioning the organisation's commitment to transparency and accountability. By evading a simple no to displace doubts, the BBC has inadvertently heightened suspicions regarding the origins and integrity of the Kate Middleton video. Princess Kate Middleton is wearing the same shirt in her cancer announcement video she did for a mental health awareness campaign from 2016. This inexplicable refusal to address legitimate inquiries not only undermines the public's trust, but also raises serious questions about the BBC's adherence to journalistic ethics and standards. I have to add that the BBC has no public trust now amongst those who are awake because they're just another propaganda machine. The BBC's assertion that information pertaining to its creative activities falls outside the purview of the FOI Act is a thinly veiled attempt to shield itself from scrutiny by conveniently categorising potentially incriminating information as part of its artistic and journalistic endeavours. The BBC effectively sidesteps accountability. This deliberate obfuscation only serves to reinforce suspicions that the organisation may have something to hide. As a publicly funded institution entrusted with the responsibility of delivering unbiased and accurate news coverage, the BBC owes it to the public to operate with the utmost transparency. By refusing to provide a clear answer to whether AI or deepfake technology was utilised in the creation of the Kate Middleton video, the BBC is shirking its duty to uphold journalistic integrity and accountability. The public deserves answers, not evasion tactics. On a similar subject to the original article that I shared about the clones and so on, Ariel on X at Proletario One, he posted, "Someone else explained this to me last year, but now I have Adele confirming this. It was said that when a live performance is being held, the audio of the song is recorded and is played through the speakers. Meanwhile, the hologram of the celebrity is displayed on stage and is synchronized with the audio to create a convincing and realistic illusion. This technology is so advanced that it is able to simulate facial expressions, movements, and even dance routines, all while being in perfect sync with the song being played. This creates an immersive and engaging experience for the audience members, while allowing the celebrity to perform remotely without physically being there. So we can guess as to why they are resorting to this method to continue the illusion that some of these celebrities are still around, especially when we consider Gitmo." And it's quoting a tweet or an X post from Adele Angela. "My parents' next door neighbour in Illinois is head of a tech company that sets up concerts. He told my parents that for the last 4 to 5 years or so, all the major celebrities have been holograms on stage. This said neighbour is a diehard liberal. My parents knew what was up." And there are many others in this thread citing their experience of AI and CGI or hologram concerts as well. So very interesting, this topic, because anybody that's awake sees the difference in the people that are in the media from how they originally looked. And we know that Donald Trump has several body doubles to protect him. Biden isn't Biden. Hillary Clinton isn't Hillary Clinton. And Bill Clinton, who showed up at Biden's fundraiser, didn't look anything like him. It looked like he'd had like 20 years taken off him. So this is becoming really interesting, this use of doubles and clones and CGI and holograms. Now for an unexpected piece of news this week. This is from Zero Hedge. "US considering dropping prosecution of Assange," Biden says. This was published on the 11th. "Wednesday saw a rare and unexpected positive development in the Julian Assange extradition case. President Joe Biden has affirmed the US is considering dropping its prosecution of the WikiLeaks founder. Currently, Assange is awaiting a final ruling from the UK High Court over his possible extradition to the US, coming at the end of a lengthy appeals process. But the following exchange with President Biden and reporters just happened. When asked about the request by reporters at the White House on Wednesday, President Joe Biden said, "We're considering it." Comments described as encouraging by Mr. Assange's lawyer. Biden issued the response in a press briefing while hosting Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida for an official White House visit, where the two leaders are expected to deepen defense ties. It is widely perceived that this was all set in motion when, in February, Assange's native Australia saw its parliament vote to issue formal requests that charges against Julian Assange be dropped by the US. The motion adopted by Parliament emphasised the importance of the UK and USA bringing the matter to a close so that Mr. Assange can return home to his family in Australia. The country's Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, immediately backed the motion calling for his return to Australia. Amnesty International also recently renewed its call to drop the charges against Assange. The risk to publishers and investigative journalists around the world hangs in the balance. Should Julian Assange be sent to the US and prosecuted there, global media freedoms will be on trial too, a statement said. We detailed in March that the Biden administration might be looking for a way to bring the 14-year-long legal drama to an end. A Wall Street Journal report at the time said the US Justice Department is considering whether to allow Julian Assange to plead guilty to a reduced charge of mishandling classified information. According to people familiar with the matter, opening the possibility of a deal that would end a lengthy legal saga triggered by one of the biggest classified intelligence leaks in American history. A plea deal means the whole crisis for him and his family could finally come to an acceptable and peaceful end after all these years. But Assange's legal team never gave any level of confirmation to the prior Wall Street Journal reporting. However, this fresh Biden statement seems to confirm the reporting that a plea deal could be on the table. A May 20th hearing, which has been scheduled by the UK High Court, and is expected to take up whether the US assurances that Assange would not face either the death penalty or torture if transferred to US custody are satisfactory. His lawyers have long argued that confinement in a US federal supermax facility would indeed be torturous and would also severely degrade his mental health. I think there are many people praying for Assange's release because he's effectively been imprisoned for many years. He had to take refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London until they made him leave, at which point he was arrested and thrown into the UK prison. So, you know, considering investigative journalism is for the good of the people, this is pure tyranny that has had him locked up for so many years for actually publishing something that was released to him. It's not like he stole the information or leaked it. He just published it. So I'm hoping that this will end very well for him and his family. On to the next thing I want to cover. Is the federal government illegitimate? And this is a report from Greg Reese on Substack. No oaths of office in the federal government. Enemies destroying US government from within. This was published on the 9th. On January 10th of 1963, 45 current communist goals were submitted to the Congressional Record. Number 13 was do away with loyalty oaths. 60 years later, on the very same day, Biden, Obrador, and Trudeau met in Mexico City for the Declaration of North America, which states a plan to unify North America under the ideas of diversity, climate change, migration, health, and regional security. The beginnings of a North American Union, which is a step towards a one-world government. According to law, elected officials must swear an oath that they will support, defend, and bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And through the Freedom of Information Act, U.S. Attorney Todd Callender, along with his team at Project Proper Oath, found that not a single member of the existing cabinet has a valid oath of office. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has no oath of office and has also failed to register as a foreign agent, which is required due to serving on the boards and conducting international business with Raytheon, Nucor and Tenet Healthcare. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra, responsible for declaring a national emergency during COVID, has no oath of office. Former Director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, has no oath of office. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith, responsible for investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack, has no oath of office. U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Matthew Graves, Chief Prosecutor of Jan 6ers, has no oath of office. Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, has no oath of office. Within 30 days of appointment to public office, all public officials are legally required to have a signed and notarized copy of their oath of office, and it appears as if no elected officials in the federal government have one. They are either non-existent, incomplete, or fraudulent. The fraudulent ones are missing signatures, are not notarized, and in most of them the words, "So help me God," are all in caps. In the US Constitution, "So help me God" is not in all caps, and this matters, as many have been telling us for decades, including the great Jordan Maxwell. Today, the entire world of mankind operates under a world law, which is referred to as the Law of the High Seas, or International Maritime Admiralty. When you were born, you came out of your mother's water. Since you came out of your mother's water, you are a maritime product. This is why, when you are born, the dock, as in D-O-C-K, has to sign your birth, B-E-R-T-H, certificate. It's a maritime admiralty manifest showing that your mother brought you into the world and you are going to make money. Anything in this country, if it's a lawful legal document of any kind, your name must be, according to maritime law, in all capital letters. Why? Because you do not own your body. You do not own yourself. All capital letters name implies that you are a maritime admiralty product. You are not a human. You are not a living entity. You're a product. Your living entity person, the actual you, is represented under law by upper and lowercase name. So you are a corporation, whether you know it or not, but you are merely a subsidiary of a larger corporation called United States. This is the way the law works. Jordan Maxwell. And I think this also refers to the term straw man. I'm not quite sure why he included that in the article, but it's very suspicious. Well, maybe not. Maybe it just proves that the federal government isn't really in charge. And in fact, it's under military control with Donald Trump as the commander-in-chief. Perhaps that's more evidence that that's really the case. Something else that's in the news, which I didn't include in the title because I wasn't sure if I'd have time for it, is relating to the WHO's pandemic treaty. And I've got a couple of articles on this subject. One relates to Japan and the other is related to the UK. Bear in mind, of course, that this is a global issue because of the WHO trying to basically take sovereignty away from each nation. This is from Aussie 17 Pharma Files. developing massive rallies break out in Japan against WHO's pandemic treaty. Let's stop the third atomic bomb with our hands in the hands of the Japanese people. April 13, 2024 will be etched in the annals of modern Japanese history as tens of thousands of citizens across the nation came together in a series of pandemic rallies. The protests centered on the widespread opposition to the pandemic treaty, with escalating concerns over infectious disease and public health becoming potent tools for an unprecedented push towards what is perceived by many as a totalitarian surveillance society. From the bustling streets of Ikebukuro to the gatherings at Higashi Ikebukuro Central Park, the sheer scale of participation speaks volumes. Organisers aimed for a monumental turnout of 100,000 protesters to demand answers on crucial issues such as the stark increase in excess deaths and the lack of transparency on the adverse effects following vaccinations. The protests not just opposed potential mandatory vaccinations, but also the perceived overreach of health authorities and their ties with Global Pharma, echoing a distressing sentiment of disenfranchisement among the populace. Demonstrators criticised the lack of explanations for a sharp increase in excess deaths and demanded accountability and clarity on vaccine-related casualties. Eminent speakers, including Professor Masayasu Inu and modern history researcher Chikatsu Hayashi, provided compelling pre-demonstration speeches that laid bare the concerning dynamics between global health authorities and pharmaceutical agendas. Professor Inu highlighted the concerning trend of our health being weaponized in what he termed as a third world war fought with information. He urged the public to resist introducing genetic vaccines into their bodies, implicating a significant portion of whose funding comes from pharmaceutical giants and private interests like the Bill Gates Foundation. This follows Japan's message to the world delivered by Professor Inu a few days ago. April 13th marked not just a protest against a treaty, but a stand against a future where health becomes a lever for control and surveillance. The massive turnout signifies a critical moment in Japan's civic engagement. It's a call from its people for autonomy, transparency, and the reassessment of global health governance that resonates beyond its borders. Today, Japan stands at the forefront, questioning, challenging, and seeking change for a future where health policy respects national sovereignty and individual rights. The other article is by the Daily Skeptic. Why won't the government tell us what the WHO wants us to sign up to? This was actually from the 2nd of April, so quite a few days ago, but it's obviously top of mind in the UK as well and should be top of mind in the US if it isn't already. If you were expected to agree to an employment contract, would you not want to read it before signing? When you go to a restaurant, do you not look at the menu before ordering your food, or do you just eat whatever you happen to be given by the waiter? Or when buying a house or a car, would you not first want to view it and find out the details before committing to the purchase? In these situations, it's highly unlikely that you would simply trust that everything will turn out fine, with no essential information to inform your decision-making. Yet this is exactly what it appears the government would like you to do with the World Health Organization and its opaque International Health Regulations Amendments, IHRs. In fact, it's worse than that. In addition to being given virtually no information about the WHO's IHR amendments, the British public will not get a say in whether or not our nation is signed up to the changed agreements. Regardless of your opinion on the matter, the government and the WHO will decide for you. This is despite increasing numbers of credible voices, including members of Parliament, expressing grave concerns about what this could mean for our individual freedom, our health choices, our economy, and for our hard-won British democracy. It is therefore incredibly important that we all become aware of the issues around this debate and then consider expressing any resulting concerns that we may have. Most people would take this approach to any other situation which could dramatically affect the way they live their life and impact on their family and future. The IHRs are being hidden from public scrutiny. You would be forgiven for not knowing about the WHO's IHR amendments because there is scant coverage of what they are within the mainstream media and therefore very little public discussion about them. This is unacceptable given the impact which they could have on our lives. In summary, the WHO is currently developing two international legal instruments intended to increase significantly its authority in managing public health emergencies, including pandemics. 1. Amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, the IHR amendments. 2. A pandemic treaty, the WHO Pandemic Agreement. The WHO International Health Regulations Group is set to agree on the amendments package to present to the World Health Assembly in May at the 77th World Health Assembly. The last draft of that document made available by the WHO was over 2 years ago, in February 2022, and are summarised in this comprehensive Us for Them briefing paper, which gives a feel for the scale and severity of the issues, particularly in terms of their implications for human rights, free speech and national decision-making autonomy. Furthermore, there is strong evidence that the process has not been lawfully adhered to. The WHO failed to publish the revised package of IHR amendments back in January 2024, as required under Article 55 of the IHR. This means that the WHO cannot now lawfully present the IHR for a vote within the timeframes required under international law. The May deadline for the vote must therefore be extended. You would expect that something as important as this would be raised in Parliament and widely reported in the mainstream press, but it has not been. Many of those asking questions and demanding transparency on the WHO's IHRs are highly respected politicians. Last year, Esther McVeigh MP, along with 5 other Conservative MPs, wrote a letter to ministers to warn of an ambition evident for the WHO to transition from an advisory organisation to a controlling international authority. The letter was also signed by the Tory MPs Sir John Redwood, David Davis, Philip Davis, Sir Christopher Chope and Danny Kruger. The group raised serious concerns about the proposed amendments to the IHRs, warning that the WHO's advice would be binding and would introduce a new requirement for countries to recognise the WHO as the global authority on public health measures. If passed in May 2024, the change would mean the WHO could enforce border closures, quarantine measures and vaccine passports on all member countries, including the UK. It would do this in response to the threat of a pandemic or the emergence of one or some other public health crisis which the WHO would identify and define. Additionally, the draft of the treaty itself would commit member states to significant spending commitments for pandemic preparedness. Surely this is worth some level of public and parliamentary debate. Calls for greater transparency and scrutiny of the IHRs were ramped up again in March of this year. A group of Conservative MPs has warned the UK risks signing away its powers to unelected WHO bosses, complaining about the proposed amendments in a letter to Alicia Kearns, chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee. Members of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Pandemic Response and Recovery have argued the treaty risks undermining UK sovereignty. The letter was signed by the former Brexit Minister and Chief Negotiator Lord Frost. Other signatories included MPs Philip Davies, Philip Hollobone and Sir Christopher Chope. Voicing her concerns again on March 30, 2024, Esther McVeigh, now a minister, has written in the Telegraph and stated, "We will never surrender powers to the World Health Organization, and that no one is going to tell us how to take care of our citizens or force us to impose any particular national response in future crises. In this article, she has claimed our red lines in the negotiations include not agreeing to anything that cedes sovereignty, protecting our ability to make all of our own domestic decisions on national public health measures, including whether to introduce any lockdowns or restrictions, require vaccinations and mask wearing, and decisions on travel into and out of the country. As one commentator pointed out on social media, although as a statement of intent this is reassuring from Esther McVeigh, it does not lessen the imperative for public scrutiny of these agreements. Indeed, given the secretive and anti-democratic manner in which the negotiations have been overseen by the WHO and the significant implications the agreement could have on so many aspects of our lives, we have a right to see every detail before anything is agreed. This matter should be widely reported in the mainstream media, discussed in Parliament, and debated by the British public. Of course, the problem is that around the world, most of the political leaders are WEF puppets. I mean, look at Rishi Sunak in the UK and Trudeau in Canada. And of course, Biden is just being manipulated by Obama, who's a traitor to the US. And if you remember, Trump took the US out of the WHO because he didn't trust them and certainly didn't want to send money to them. And really, this is the kind of thing that ought to have a referendum. But I'm sure that those in the seats of power trying to push this through as part of the Great Reset, the One World Government agenda. But we have to stand up for it. And I've signed petitions in the UK related to the IHR and also to a petition which requested that, or demanded, that Britain leaves the WHO. And the response from Parliament was, well, no, we're never going to leave the WHO, which shows just exactly where we are in terms of any reference to what the public wants whatsoever. I mean, we're seeing democracy die all around the planet. It's absolutely crazy, but at least we are aware of it. And again, I don't think they're going to get away with all of this because so many people are rising up against these draconian measures. So we've got Japan now. We've got the UK very unhappy about it. People in the US, I know, are very concerned about it. Even Tedros, the head of the WHO, is concerned because he doesn't want all the misinformation, as he calls it, coming out, which is basically the truth about the kind of corrupt organisation the WHO is. So I think we're definitely going to prevail on this, either by not having the treaty signed or by just refusing to comply again. Many of us did for the first so-called pandemic, which of course wasn't a pandemic, and I'm no doubt that we, and probably more, will refuse to comply again. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. I'd just like to remind you that you can sign up for a personality assessment at my website, thesuccessalchemist.net, under the Work With Me menu item, which is going to tell you what your breakthrough point is if you're struggling to manifest your desires and achieve your goals. It really does help to unleash your true potential. So please take a look at that. I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and to Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. And so until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.